Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Al Mashriq. It's Monday morning. My name is Junaid Jassad. I will be with you until 12, inshallah, Aziz. And looking forward to an exciting and interesting week on Al Mashriq, inshallah, Aziz. We are looking at first up an African country that we will be learning about. Like every Monday, the first segment of our program, we look at Africa as a continent and take out one country a week from Africa and learn a little bit more about that country, get a bit of a deeper insight into that country. And then at 11:30 we go on to the parenting segment. So we go on to a completely different topic. We focus on parenting challenges that are faced, advice for parents and how to improve yourself and your task at parenting, how to make your task lighter and easier as well. We are here to advise and to guide and to help and assist whatever way we can, inshallah Aziz. So that's the gist of our program. Today, the country that we have selected to discuss today, and as you know, we are going in alphabetical order. Last week we did Libya. This week we are doing Madagascar. Now, as soon as you hear the name Madagascar, it conjures up images of mystery, images of beauty, images of tropical weather, tropical beaches, beautiful rainforests, and that's exactly what Madagascar is all about. Now, let's learn about the country, or the island, rather, of Madagascar. Now, Madagascar is officially the Republic of Madagascar. And in French it's called République de Madagascar, and previously it was known as the Malagasy Republic. It's an island in the Indian Ocean off the coast of Southeast Africa. So if we look at Mozambique, it's if you travel east from Mozambique, you would come to Madagascar. It comprises the island of Madagascar, which is the fourth largest island in the world, as well as numerous smaller peripheral islands, following the what is known as the breakup of the supercontinent Gondwana. Madagascar split from the Indian Peninsula about 88 million years ago. This is according to the tectonic plate shifting theory. So we see Madagascar is a beautiful, beautiful island. 90% of its wildlife is found nowhere else on Earth. And the first archaeological evidence for human foraging on Madagascar dates to 2000 BC. Human settlement of Madagascar occurred between 350 BC and 550 in the Common Era. And until the late 18th century, the island of Madagascar was ruled by a fragmented assortment of shifting alliances. In the beginning of the 19th century, most of the island was united and ruled as the Kingdom of Madagascar by a series of Merina nobles. The monarchy collapsed in 1897 when the island was absorbed into the French colonial empire. So Mauritius, Reunion, Madagascar, all brought into the French Empire. And so the country of Madagascar gained independence from France in 1960. Thereafter they have undergone four major constitutional periods that was termed republics. Since 1992, they've officially been governed as a constitutional democracy from the capital. What's the name of the capital of Madagascar? Antananarivo. And I remember we having lots of friends from Madagascar who came to Darul Uloom Zakaria to study back in the day in the 90s, and they would give us beautiful descriptions of the island, bring the vanilla pods for us from Madagascar, and they would bring like a whole stack of vanilla pods which would just grow wild. It was very cheap for them there in Madagascar, and they used to tell us the name of the capital, Antananarivo. That's the capital of Madagascar. And in 2009, President Marc Ravalomanana was made to resign, and presidential power was transferred in March 2009 to Andre Rajoelina, and constitutional governance was restored in 2014 when Hiri Rajao Narimampianina That's his name, his long surname. Was named president following a 2013 election deemed fair and transparent by the international community. And remember, South Africans also went there to ensure that the election was free and fair. It's a member of the United Nations and part of SADC as well, Southern African Development Community. In 2012, Madagascar was estimated at just over 22 million people, 90% who live less than $2 per day. The official languages are Malagasy and French. The majority of the population adheres to traditional beliefs, Christianity, or maybe a mix of both as well. Very few Muslims in Madagascar. I don't know exactly the total population of Madagascar. And so Madagascar is a beautiful country. If you look at Madagascar and tourism in Madagascar, I think it's taking off now after many years. And Madagascar is really described as one of the paradises of the world, where if you look at Madagascar, look at the cities of Madagascar, you have Antananarivo, you have Antsirabe, you have Fianarantsoa, and then you have the other smaller cities, Morondava, Ambositra, Ambodifotatra, Manakara, and Anakau. And so those are the cities of Madagascar. And why they say they love Madagascar, what's the description that is given of Madagascar? The lemurs, baobabs, rainforest, desert, trekking and diving. Madagascar is a dream destination for outdoor lovers, and half the fun is getting to all these incredible attractions. According to a writer called Emily Philo, she says, "Why I love Madagascar. Madagascar is unlike anywhere I have been to. Fantastically beautiful, amazingly diverse for its size, and still so unspoiled. Vast tracts of the country are virtually uninhabited and seldom explored, and nothing comes easy. But that's what makes it so unique and rewarding," she says. "Plus the fact that after a day of bumping around in a dusty four-wheel drive, or fighting off leeches on muddy trails, you can be served a meal worthy of a fine European restaurant kept," okay, here she says, "kept with exquisite rump," but we don't speak about rump and rum, which is the alcoholic drink there. And she says, "That's definitely my kind of travel." And so if you look at the epic landscapes, the fauna and flora of Madagascar is remarkable. And there's landscapes of incredible diversity. You can go from rainforest to desert in just 300 kilometers. There's few places in Earth that offer such intense kaleidoscope of nature. There's sandstone canyons, there's limestone castes, there's mountains, fertile hills, terraced rice paddies, forests of every kind. You have the rainy forest, you have the dry forest, you have the spiny forest, and then you have the laterite rich soil, and that gives the country its nickname, Red Island. It's 5,000 kilometers of coastline, and the sea is never very far from where you are. And the sea is also turquoise and idyllic in places, and on the other hand, in certain places, can be dangerous as well. 5% of all known animal and plant species can be found here, and in Madagascar alone. The island's signature animal is the lemur, very famous lemur, but there are many more weird and wonderful creatures. The eerie-looking fossa, which is like a cat-like predator, the colorful and camouflaged chameleons, the oddly shaped insects, vivid frogs, graceful rays and turtles, several species of sharks, the humpback whales during the winter months, and the trees and plants are just as impressive. The distinctly shaped baobabs, the fanning ravinala, which is called the traveler's palm, and the hundreds of orchids are the spiny forests of the desert south. Then you look at the island, it's the fourth largest in the world. The roads are dismal, but for those who want adventure, this is a one-of-a-kind destination. The off-road driving is excellent, it's beautiful, it's phenomenal. There's national parks that only see about a few hundred visitors a year. And it's great activities that you can do there. You can do trekking, diving, mountain biking, kite surfing, rock climbing, you name it. Whatever interests you, you can find it in Madagascar. But you have to be adventurous to really enjoy it. And so that is the beauty of Madagascar. And hopefully Allah Ta'ala takes us there one day, inshallah al-Aziz, and we can visit there with the purpose of spreading the deen. I know of people who've been there in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said it's really not easy, but this was back in the day as well, where in the 90s, where they said it was really not easy to spend time there, but I'm sure things have improved greatly from the 90s up till now. We're sitting in 2016, and inshallah one day we can make contact with our friends in Madagascar and perhaps visit them there as well, inshallah Aziz. A message has come in from a sister. She says, absolutely interesting, sounds awesome, Madagascar. Jazakumullahu khairan for that. It's 20 past 11, listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is 27 minutes after 11. My name is Junaid Jassat. I will be with you for the rest of the program as well. What we have looked at already is an African country. In this case, we looked at an island called Madagascar. Very interesting, very intriguing island indeed. And we have learnt about that country. Beautiful landscape, lovely for tourism, and looks like a country that is on the rise, that is coming up in the world, inshallah. We pray for them. Nevertheless, we continue with our program, and in the second segment, we look at parenting. Now, in terms of parenting, one major issue is temper, is anger. That can spoil the way that we parent, or it can become an obstacle, a problem in the way that we deal with our children. And so we are looking at 10 steps to control your temper when disciplining children. It's very easy for us to lose our temper, and when you lose your temper, you lose the battle with your children, or rather you lose your children even possibly. And so we look at controlling our tempers, and so winning our children over. And now, one of the most common questions from parents is how to control the temper when they are disciplining. And so let's go through a step-by-step method that we can use as parents, that we can employ to help us avoid unwanted hitting and shouting when disciplining our children. It's a long-term thing. Remember that a shift in your parenting method, a shift in your parenting ways, is a long-term exercise. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen immediately. It's going to take you time. And once you get through it, then you will find the results at the end. Sometimes you don't even realize that there is a change, or there's a shift, or there's differences, but the differences are there. And it's something like losing weight. You know, it's a long-term thing. You don't realize you are becoming thinner, but somebody who sees you after many months will say that, okay, you've lost weight, or you've become slim or trim, because they've noticed the difference in you after that many months. So let's look at the steps that you need to employ in order to control your temper when disciplining your children. The first step is that you need to understand, the more you take responsibility for changing your behavior, the greater your success, inshallah. Listen to that carefully. If you take responsibility for changing your own behavior, the greater you are going to succeed in parenting. To help you take direct control of your new parenting ambitions, you need to get a sheet of notebook paper. You need to write down specifically the change you wish to make. So note down or jot down your goals and how you want to change as a parent, what you want to become, what type of parent you would want to become. For instance, you can write down, I want to stop shouting at my son when he misbehaves, and I will select an alternative discipline method from my list of shouting alternatives. I will do this for 2 weeks, inshallah. So, stipulate what you want to achieve, stipulate how you are going to achieve it, and stipulate a timeline for how long you are going to carry on with that. So, three columns that you need to make. What you want to achieve, how you are going to achieve that. And thirdly, set a time for that. So that's the first step that you need to do. Make that column and fill it in. Like this, a mother said, I want to stop shouting at my son and he misbehaves. So that's her parenting goal. How is she going to do that? I will select an alternative discipline method from my list of shouting alternatives. That's how she'll do that. How long will she do that for? 2 weeks, inshallah. So that's how she set it out. Step two, you need to make a list of ways you can manage your child's behavior without shouting. So, there's many things that you can do or steps that you can take that doesn't use shouting and screaming. It's, for example, you can send your child to his room for time out. You can discuss with him why what he has done is not correct, is not a proper thing to do. You can ask your child why he did what he did. Maybe there's a logical explanation for him. Maybe he had a specific reason why he did what he did. You can remove a privilege. For example, screen time, or game time, or pleasurable outing, or whatever, a snack, or a treat. You can remove a privilege. And I think with our kids of this era, if you deprive them of screen time, it's one of the worst punishments that you can ever give your children. And yesterday, I know my children were punished a little bit, and they were deprived of screen time. Now, screen includes phone, game, tablet, computer, whatever else it is. They're deprived of screen time, and for them, and it felt as if that the roof of the house came down. That is how bad it was for them. But after they go through that initial stage, or the initial phase of anger and resentment and hatred, and then they come and realize, say, oh, there's a life around. And, you know, they start noticing things that they haven't noticed, and they start becoming human again. And so you can remove a privilege. That's a type of punishment alternative to you're losing your temper. You can offer incentives. That's an interesting thing. You can place a star on your on a behavior chart that your child get a star if you behave well. And instead of losing your temper, you offer incentives. Or you can visit parenting websites. They have numerous alternatives to losing your temper. So that's step two. Make a list of ways you can manage your child's behavior without shouting. Now you need to, each person is an individual, and each person's method is going to differ. So you have to make your own individual list and stick to that list, inshallah aziz, and you can add to it as you go along. The third step is you need to imagine how you will feel when you begin disciplining with control, and write down those feelings on your paper. So, now you need to visualize how it will be to discipline without losing your temper. Discipline with control. Write down how you will feel. If you are able to make your child do what you want them to do, or stop doing what you don't want them to do, without losing your temper, imagine what a great feeling that will be. That just by speaking nicely to them, or placing a request before them, and asking them, instead of shouting at them, what a nice feeling that will be. You'll feel calm. Write down, that's what you need to do. You need to write down what you will feel. I will feel calm, I will feel patient, I will feel less angry with my child, I'll feel less disappointed with myself, I'll feel like a better Muslim, a better parent, a better mother. I'll feel in control. How will you feel if you are just able to say something to your child once and they immediately listen to you? It's definitely going to bring a wonderful feeling to you, and it's going to make you less tense and less stressed out. It's going to make you more calm, more patient. It's going to make you a different person, definitely. So you need to visualize and write down what you visualize, inshallah aziz. And then keep a date, set a date to begin working on your new parenting improvement program. You know, it cannot just start gradually, it cannot just start at any time, or you can't keep the date indefinite. Rather, set a specific date. I'm going to start on Monday, I'm going to start on Friday, I'm going to start on Wednesday, whatever date it is, start on that, set that date and start on that specific date so that you are motivated, inshallah Aziz, to change and to work on it from that specific date. It's just gone 23 minutes to 12. You are listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. What we'll do right now is we're going to go for a short break, and when we return, we'll take a recap of what we've discussed already and take it from there, inshallah Aziz. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We are looking at steps to control your temper while disciplining your child. And we looked at step one. You need to take responsibility. So you need to write down what your goals are in changing your parenting style, how you're going to achieve the goals, and you need to set a timeline. In step two, we said you need to make a list of ways, alternative ways, where you don't need to shout or hit. Alternative ways to discipline, make a list of them. And step three, you need to visualize what you will achieve by parenting with control, and write that down. And step four, we said you need to set a date when you're going to start your new parenting style. Now step five is what we are looking at now, and you need to keep yourself motivated when disciplining your child. Now to help you stay motivated, you can listen to parenting lectures that you can download from the internet or websites or books or from bookshops, etc. Browse parenting websites and blogs. You need to read books. There's a book called Discipline Without Disrespecting, or Drs. Ikram and Muhammad Rida Bashir's parenting book. It's Parenting in the West. And you can also listen to Islamic lectures that discuss the manner in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated children, or listen to lectures on the importance of being patient. This can also help to motivate you to remain patient and not lose your temper when disciplining your children. Another good tip is to watch how other mothers discipline their children with respect. When you're out and about, you need to observe how respectful mothers manage their children's behavior. What do they say? How do they say it? How does their child respond to the way they speak, and how do they respond to the way they discipline them? And by looking at them, you can take a lesson from it, inshallah. As in step six, remember when you have those slip ups, and you are going to have mistakes, and you're going to make mistakes, make errors, you need to bear in mind that as a person, you are not perfect. Mistakes are a stepping stone to success, and making mistakes you can't be faultless, and doesn't mean that you can't achieve your goal of becoming a good parent, but it just means you need to learn from the mistakes that you have made. And so sometimes you're going to lose your temper, sometimes you're going to make mistakes, but just get up and keep on going, and you'll make a success out of it, inshallah Aziz. The next step, step seven, is that when you find yourself shouting, it's going to happen. Sometimes you don't realize it, but then you say, okay, I'm shouting. Now, I think about how out of control, how uncomfortable you feel by shouting and screaming. Tell yourself that you need to feel control, you need to feel calm, you need to feel patient. You need to feel all those feelings that you wrote down on the paper. Try and control yourself, calm yourself down, and start your disciplining process over again. That's the seventh step. The eighth step is be on the lookout for negative disciplining relapses. If you have a negative disciplining relapse, now what does this mean? Is that suddenly one day you see your child doing something wrong. All along you were patient and you were doing well and you were moderate in your disciplining measures, and it was there was progress, you were succeeding, you were doing well. And then suddenly say your child does something, and without realizing, you've been tired the whole day, you are hungry, there's issues, and then you just blow up. Now you need to think at that point Are you going to let your emotions get the better of you? Are you going to let your temper control you? So stop yourself. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Think of your list of alternative actions and follow through with an alternative action from your list. Don't give in to the temptations of shaitan. Don't let shaitan make you shout and scream and lose your temper on your children. And inshallah, that way it will be a success. And then step number nine is never give up. Never give up. If you try and make an effort to follow your parenting goal, most of the time you'll definitely see improvement. Maybe you won't realize it because it happens over time, but you'll definitely see improvement. And you'll find yourself disciplining your children with calmness, without hitting, without shouting, without losing control. And this will become a normal practice for you, that you can tell your child something and your child will listen automatically, and you'll also feel good about it, and your child will also feel more calm and more at ease about the whole experience. So don't give up. It will happen. And don't ever say that my children will never ever come right. Don't you ever think about it that way, that your children will never come right. Every child has a potential for change. Every child has the potential for improvement. It depends on the parent's attitude and it depends on how the parent brings that child up. And then step 10 is keep a record of all of your successes. Each day you manage your child's behavior in a respectful manner without hitting, shouting and lose control. You know, have a star for yourself. Reward yourself. And when you earn 10 stars, reward yourself with a treat. Whatever treat it may be, reward yourself with a treat. Make a list of incentives which you can reward yourself with when you reach your goal. And inshallah, your parenting will improve, and the way that you bring your children up will improve, inshallah al-Aziz. Well, it's just almost 14 minutes before 12. You're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned, we'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Just a few words of advice when it comes to teenage discipline. This is the big, big challenge that every parent of a teenage child faces. And as you are maybe a parent of a young child, remember the child is coming to the teenage years, and the challenges only get greater as the child gets older. Tools for teenage discipline. And just a few words of advice in this regard. You know that our religion doesn't condone drugs, alcohol and illicit sex. But that doesn't mean that our kids won't be tempted to experiment with these immoralities. The reality is that this is what society offers. This is what society promotes. This is what our kids are tempted by in the streets, by their friends, by society in general. Now, our reminders to our children, our close relationship with our children can help prevent this type of experimentation and ultimate harm, inshallah. The stronger relationship that we have with our children, the closer bond that we have with them will prevent this type of experimentation. The relationship we develop with our kids is so important. Having love with them, sharing laughter with them, sharing time with them, time, that is the greatest gift that we can ever give our children. And we can never ever emphasize this enough. Your money that you have to spend on necessities of your children, or the money that you spend on the luxuries of your children, or the clothes and entertainment, whatever else, can never ever replace the time that you can give to your child. And that time is the priceless, priceless gift that you can give to your child. Remember, the time that you can give to your child is more valuable than any gift or any car or any clothes, any money or any holiday that anybody else can give to their child. And so the time is so much more valuable. And so the relationship we develop with our kids is so important. Children have a natural tendency to want to please their parents. They want their parents to be happy with them. They want their parents to show pleasure at what they are doing. And being kind to them makes this inclination easier. As a parent, if we are kind with our children, treat them with kindness. Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. Allah has mercy on those who have mercy on others. Subhanallah. And show kindness to our children. When we show kindness, our children are going to be more inclined to us as parents. And when we use verses from the Quran, when we use a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we explain to them clearly how Allah Ta'ala views certain types of behaviors, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes certain acts and certain ways of dressing and certain types of behavior, then it reminds our children that the ultimate reason for obeying their parents is in actual fact to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is exactly what we want them to recognize and establish, that whatever they do is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even being kind to their parents is not for the sake of their parents or for the happiness of their parents, but being kind and respectful to parents is actually for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we remind our children with Quran and Hadith, then this is the reality, the conviction that will be established in their hearts, inshallah aziz. So that's advice for disciplining our teenagers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all strength as parents, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all our children hidayat, make them the coolness of our eyes. Allah ta'ala grant them barakah in their health and wealth and time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them beneficial knowledge of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them opportunity to practice on whatever knowledge they have acquired. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them all those who establish salah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them all leaders of the pious. This is our desire, our hope, our dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single one of our children. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. It's 6 minutes to 12. We thank you for your time with us this morning. Shukran to our studio operator this morning, Brother Muhammad Bilal. And shukran to you for listening. Tomorrow we will be back on Al-Mashriq with Maulana Ibrahim Dai as our co-host. And we'll be interviewing Maulana Yahya Bamsab, inshallah, at 11:30 tomorrow. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International from Junaid Jassat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.